Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show with three special guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing something that is very interesting and timely, and our topic is how the multifamily industry is responding to the devastating Arctic freeze. I have joining me by phone a longtime multifamily industry veteran, Hugh Cobb, the president of the Texas Apartment Association, and he is also a principal with Asset Living. In the studio is another longtime multifamily industry veteran, Gina Irwin, who is a vice president at large with the Houston Apartment Association and the president of GWR Management. And also on the phone and joining the discussion is an award-winning freelance writer, Jeffrey Steele. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. Glad to be here with you.
Yes, thank you. So I want to kind of frame the discussion. We have listeners that are all over the country, many who don't have any issues with Arctic freeze because they may be up in the northern part of the country or even in Canada. But we need to kind of let them know why Texas, and we're really talking about Texas today, why it was so unusual. I was reading a story recently that said that on Monday, when the freeze first came in, when this weather event first occurred, in Dallas, the temperatures were 14 degrees when typically they would have been 59 degrees. It was something that obviously we don't see on a regular basis. I think in Amarillo, they had a temperature that they broke, a record they broke that was set in 1895, and they broke it by 10 degrees. So, I mean, it's really, really something that was unusual. And Hugh, I want to start asking you this, because in North Texas, where you are, it was worse as far as the icy conditions and so forth than we really had here in Houston, but it was terrible in Houston as well. Tell us a little bit about what was occurring, and set the stage for us there.
Well, great, and I want to thank you for allowing me to participate on today's call. Of course, all of us in the multifamily here in Texas, just about everyone has been affected by this crazy weather event and just the impact it's had on so many of our properties. You know, what was occurring here, of course, was a major, you know, with the major cold. It was, well, we had snow predicted. That's something we've dealt with before, and most of us, or well, let me just say, some of us have seen weather similar to this, but it dates back, I think, to the early 90s, or maybe it was the late 80s, where we had a serious event like this come through. I can tell you, you know, with our teams really across the state, what we began to realize very quickly is communicating to the residents of the properties, taking precautionary efforts, you know. During some cold snaps, you might be able to just drip your faucets, and we had to train our residents. This is going to take more than a drippy faucet to stop these pipes from freezing in you know, interiors. It's going to take a greater amount of effort. So we went into really a massive communication effort across our portfolio.
Yeah, and you know, in Houston, Gina, where you're based. You know, we have hurricanes and we have floods and occasionally we'll get a little bit of snow. And I'm a native Houstonian, and I don't remember anything in my life that was this severe as far as the colder temperatures. How do you deal with that when on your properties?
Well, in very similar ways that he was just talking about, you know, South Texas is not nearly as accustomed to this as maybe North Texas might be, obviously just because the temperatures don't get that cold here. And it was actually back in 1989. Those of us that have been around that long remember that vividly.
Yes.
It was my first year in the industry, and it was mayhem. There was pipes freezing everywhere. So it's similar. We communicate with the residents. We try to get in front of it. We take care of our vacants as a landlord. And then you just got to kind of hunker down and work your way through the storm itself. And then it's just full-blown triage after everything kind of starts to thaw out. It's a similar approach. But communication is key. Communication with the residents is most important.
And Jeffrey, why don't you give us a little input? And by the way, Jeffrey wrote an article for Multi-Housing News that appeared, I believe it was last week or the week before, right after this article event occurred. It was a great article, and I will have it linked on our website. If someone wants to read it, they can go to our website and click on the link, and it'll take you right to the article. But Jeffrey, frame us from your research you did for the article. Give us a little bit of framing on the how the devastation, you know, I think you quoted $50 billion worth of damage at that time. What have you found out?
Well, Paul, thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate that. And on Thursday, the 18th of February, I was given an opportunity by Multi-Housing News, for which I've contributed articles since 2008, to do an article that was very unlike the assignments they usually give me, and that was to take a look at the devastation across Texas. I immediately reached out to several property management companies that the editor suggested. I also went to the PR people for property management companies that I had profiled in articles in the previous few weeks or months. And then on top of that, I put out a query to sources nationwide if they had properties in Texas to weigh in. And I got quite a bit of response. And what was interesting, it came from several different quarters of the state, chiefly San Antonio, Austin, Dallas, and Texas, and Houston. But the interesting thing was that the responses ranged quite a bit. For instance, Stonemark Management weighed in. Regional Vice President Diane Gilbert Guthrie weighed in. She said the power loss was the heartache. The Texas power grid just can't keep up with the demand. She talked about the stores and hotels being closed, nobody having power. Residents lost food because of the power loss. Sprinklers and pipes broke, flooding apartments. She said the roads have been too icy for people to get to warming shelters or work. Some went to stay with family. And she was doing unit by unit walkthroughs to assess the water damage. But it was kind of a cascading series of events that led to eventualities that nobody could have predicted. For instance, one of the concerns they had was fires, because residents didn't have power. Some of them, she said, might be taking risks to generate heat. She said, we're on fire watch 24/7. We can't get anyone else to do that for us. We had to disable sprinklers to prevent more bursting. At Lind, which operates 35 Texas apartment communities, primarily in Houston, San Antonio, Dallas, and Austin, the company suffered damage to fire sprinkler pipes that burst in the freezing temperatures. And CEO David Lynn told me, when a lot of properties were built in Texas, codes did not require pipes to be insulated, which left the buildings vulnerable to rare weather events like the ones that they experienced in mid-February. But in some of these cases, for instance, at Lynn and others, because the storms were predicted, they were able to get out news through their resident portals, talking to residents, telling them about steps that they could take, like keeping the cabinet doors open under sinks to provide as much warmth as possible to pipes, little tips that they could take, letting the faucets drip, for instance, to allow the damage to be to mitigate the damage to some degree. So it was interesting to hear a wide variety of different responses from the five different property management companies or other entities that I talked to.
Yeah, and I think that's fascinating. I think everybody had a similar experience. Hugh, we've got about a minute left in this segment, but I just wanted to say it was a really inopportune time to be the president of the Texas Apartment Association when you put the pandemic along with an event like this. I mean, have you been rethinking that at all?
Well, let me just say, let's pick that up in the next step because I have several things to share. And really, to Jeffrey's point, just a quick finish
sure.
up on that. I really appreciate his shout out to Rainbow Housing Assistance Corporation. So, besides being a principal here at Asset Living and president of the Texas Apartment Association, I serve on the board of Rainbow Housing Assistance. And his acknowledgement of David Berkeley, our national director of resident services, and really to Flynn and Janice, the executive director, they really care about those less fortunate. And you really have a number, you know, that particular property, Jeffrey, that you refer to, Haverstock Hills, 700 units of really some of Houston's most vulnerable residents, and Rainbow did a terrific job on the resident services there to care for those folks. So there were a lot of folks, and we manage a number of senior properties as well, and maybe we can pick up a little bit on that as you know with Gina and Jeffrey in the next segment, Paul. So
that'll be great. We are going to go ahead and break it here. We're going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. EconServe has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call EconServe today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's EconServe at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters. And today we're discussing something that is very interesting and timely. Our topic is how the multifamily industry is responding to the devastating Arctic freeze. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, Hugh Cobb, the current president of the Texas Apartment Association and also a principal with Asset Living. In the studio is another longtime multifamily veteran, Gina Irwin, who is vice president at large with the Houston Apartment Association and the president of GWR Management. And also on the phone, joining the discussion is an award-winning freelance writer, Jeffrey Steele. Before we get into the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide guest ideas, show topic ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Hugh, before we had the break, I was talking to you about how your presidential year happened at a time where you were having to deal with a pandemic that's affecting multifamily properties across the state, as well as now this Arctic freeze. It seems like there's no relief. Tell us a little bit about how that's been.
Well, and thank you for asking, Paul. It has been a crazy year, and these are the types of things I don't think most of us sign up for. We have about 12,000 member members of the Texas Apartment Association. And why it's hard to believe that this number continues to grow. Additionally, we have about 4.6 million Texans that are living in rental housing that's managed by the members of the Texas Apartment Association. We have about 75,000 employees across the state. So as you can imagine, folks look to the Texas Apartment Association to provide leadership and guidance, and the association and the staff has just been tremendous. Really, in 2020, as we all know, was just a crazy year in terms of COVID-19 and the responses and the protocols and processes that really changed our industry, and I really think for that going forward. And so we're really getting that down, and we're rolling into 21. And as some people have said, we had COVID-19 in 2020, and now we have Snowvid 21 that hit. But, you know, our teams are just resilient. And with companies like Gina's that are just incredible performing companies that are taking care of their clients' assets, our whole membership really stepped up that way. And really the guidance that the Texas Apartment Association has been providing is really been a focus on two folks, really those 4.6 million Texans that live in rental housing, and then the members themselves. On the member side of it, they've been working closely with the Small Business Administration as well as the local associations to help get finances and loans that were triggered as a result of the national disaster that was declared over the majority of counties that were affected by this through Texas. And so the Texas Apartment Association has worked closely with those local members to make sure that they have access and to help. Sometimes those steps can be complicated. And so the association, I just encourage our members that are listening, you know, if you need assistance, please go to the TAA.org website, and it really gives a lot of direction. And, you know, stepping into this originally has been crazy, Paul. There's about a 4,000-year-old story, if you don't know it, and that really captured the phrase, "for such a time as this." And for such a time as this, you know, we have amazing leadership in our executive committee and the board, and really folks like Gina that are serving in the local boards at a unique time in history to provide guidance and direction. The Texas Apartment Association is really strong and has delivered excellent protocols and processes, and as well as promulgated forms that are in our Red Book, and just all the support and training. There have been thousands that have attended online training as it relates to COVID, and then even following up to this particular event. And one of the things you can count on in just almost every case are those of our members that need that are looking for plumbers and electricians and contractors to serve. They can go to the Texas Apartment Association and identify reputable folks that you can depend on to really get you through the repair phase stage. And I can say this as well: the insurance claims out of this we haven't seen yet. I know there have been a lot of numbers thrown around, and really to Gina's point earlier about we've seen hurricanes and we know how to prepare for hurricanes. And really, Gina, I just want to say that's exactly what we did. You know, I think we join you in that. You know, in terms of we have sort of these preparation protocols that we implemented, and really what we turned to was, hey, what are we look at when hurricanes are sort of approaching and we know we're going to be involved, or you know, in storm related, you know, weather related events, and adapted those to this particular storm as well.
Yeah, and Gina, I wanted to ask you from the standpoint of the Houston Apartment Association, Tell us a little bit about some of the things that they've seen since the storm, or actually when it was all going on, if there's anything that you can share.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you. I want to first say I think Jeffrey did an outstanding job of kind of identifying how broad this mess is, if you will. It's not concentrated to just ice on the streets and our cities froze.
Right.
It's a much, much broader difficulty to address. And, you know, while the storm was going on, obviously, most people were essentially shut down. But I can tell you the moment it was over and power started to come back, I believe it was that Thursday, mainly Thursday and Friday, the Houston Apartment Association formed a task force and quickly got together. And the task force is comprised of board members, property owners, suppliers, and vendors. And we collectively got together as quickly as we could, one, to identify the problems on a broad basis of what we were dealing with, and two, how can we support our members? How can we support our communities? What information can we put out there to be helpful? The Houston Apartment Association also has what's called an expert exchange, to where we interview weekly different suppliers and different professionals in our industry to get information out. Apartment owners were scrambling. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was a very, very difficult situation. You know, apartment management 101 is keep the water out of the buildings. Mm-hmm. And that was the first thing that happened to us, you know, after everything started to thaw out. So owners were scrambling, and getting supplies under those circumstances were difficult. The plumbers and suppliers were backed up 2 to 3 weeks, getting 800 to 1,000 calls within the first 24 hours. So trying to help our members, you know, manage that process. Also, what Hugh was talking about, we have wonderful suppliers here in Texas, but it's unfortunately also an opportunity for folks from outside of the state to try to capitalize. Mm-hmm. And we had to make sure that our members were educated about using reliable local vendors, members of the Texas Apartment Association, members that support our industry, because they're kind of a trusted source. So the task force was very, very helpful and is still meeting on twice a week. And we'll probably go back to once a week as we continue to kind of soften the blow a little bit.
Yeah. And Hugh, I know that because we have different people in the industry listening to the show from different companies of all shapes and sizes. What type of I guess, inquiries or whatever do you think you were getting? And also, Gina, as far as your association and the Houston Association, from the smaller companies who don't have the resources that some of the larger ones do. You want to take that, you?
Yeah, let me just, I'll just start initially. And in this upcoming, on our winter publication of the unit, Texas Units Magazine, we're really highlighting those particular individuals. You'll see some great stories that have already have resulted and sort of bubbled up on the steps that we call the independent rental owners, the smaller players in the industry. And so we highlighted that. I think one of the things that became really clear with the loss of power became the loss of communication. And one of the things we've done immediately, you know, just immediately following the storm, is what did we, as soon as we could all sort of get back into our office, was what can we do, how would we handle things differently? And hands down, really what we saw was that communication became a problem. And I don't know that we've cracked that we've solved that. When you have power outages and folks have lost power, And really that sort of moves back to preparedness of such. And so one of the things that the Texas Apartment Association did and then is refining further is that direction to those independent rental owners in terms of the types of actions that Gina's firm took, that the firms that Jeffrey referred to in his article, the steps we took that are, you know, the sort of this emergency preparedness types of steps. And so those are delivered down to our members to really help give them guidance and direction on response. Many of them tapped into that, but I think many more of them now know, gosh, there are steps we can take to help prevent that. And really, to Gina's point, you know, we also saw, and this the same types of things. Our office down in the Rio Grande Valley, extremely cold weather, loss of power. They're less accustomed in that part of the state to this frigid weather. And then our fire sprinkler systems was really a big issue. It's really a very big issue. And so while we took steps to have water running and heat on in our vacants and that sort of thing where we had power, it was those fire sprinkler systems that where you have the fire riser box, and they're in parts of the states where you wouldn't expect this cold weather, and so they really affected that, and that triggers, Paul, that triggers a whole nother level of having our staff who really can't get to the property. In many cases, we had them in, put up in vacants or put up in a nearby hotel where they were there, and those are the real heroes of those folks that really went on fire watch where the sprinkler systems were down. So for the care of the residents, we had folks on fire watch. They were working to deliver water. And then on our senior properties, we're trying to arrange for food deliveries. And there's many, many stories that will really that we're really working to get out out into the public so folks can see that we really are working hard and trying to respond and get water back on. And there's still a number of properties around the state that are still without water to the points that Gina made. There's just a lack of supplies and valves and pipe fittings and various things that are needed.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all great information. We are going to break it right here for this segment. We're going to be back with our next segment right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we're back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing something that is very interesting and timely. Our topic today is how the multifamily industry is responding to the devastating Arctic freeze. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is longtime multifamily industry veteran Hugh Cobb, the current president of the Texas Apartment Association. He's also a principal with Asset Living. In the studio is another longtime multifamily veteran, Gina Irwin, who is vice president at large with the Houston Apartment Association and the president of GWR Management. And also on the phone and joining the discussion is a great freelance writer, Jeffrey Steele. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. PM Workforce, the leasing management company, consistently excellent. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Jeffrey, tell us a little bit about some of the other things that you found and discovered when you were researching your article.
Well, I think one of the things that was interesting was every property management company or every company representing several apartments or several apartment buildings or a number of apartment buildings came at it kind of from their own angle. For instance, there was I talked about Alliant Capital, which is has 51 Texas properties. And the CEO, Sean Horowitz, spoke a lot about the residents who live in their affordable properties. And he said that the unfortunate truth is extreme weather events such as these, this storm disproportionately impact the groups of people who rely on affordable housing. We need to do everything we can to support them to reduce the harm these events cause. And others, such as Hugh mentioned Rainbow Housing Assistance Corporation, the Rainbow team was able to work with resident demographic information to make well-checked calls and provide residents with critical updates on the Texas property power grid. They were able to notify them about boil water notices and tips on how to stay warm and safe in their apartments. But it's interesting to note that a lot of the people impacted were people that really need affordable housing. And they a lot of these people were prevented from getting to work and getting supplies, and they were really in desperate situation. So I applaud the property management teams that got out and very proactively worked with those individuals to make sure they had what they needed to weather the crisis.
Yeah, if I could interject just a little bit, Jeffrey just touched on something that's really, really important. Hugh and I have really emphasized, I think, during this conversation, the importance of communication from the management team to the residents. And conversely, it's equally as important for the residents to communicate with property management, not just in Houston, but I mean, all over the state. Many people couldn't go to work for a week or 2 weeks or maybe still can't. And for many people, no work means they don't get paid. Mm-hmm. And that creates hardships. It creates difficulties in making timely rent payments. And it's so, so important. Apartment owners are very, very reasonable, and we want to help. We want to be reasonable. We want to help people. So if people will just communicate with their landlords in advance of issues instead of waiting until, you know, they get some sort of horrific notice. You know, we don't want to evict people. We mm-hmm. want people to be able to stay in their homes, and we want to help. This is a crisis that we're all dealing with. So communication is really, really important. Also, for the Houston Apartment Association, I do want to note for residents that if we can get this information out there, there's a list of financial resources at the HAA website. It's haaonline.org/financial help. And then also 211 is a general number to get help about social service information too. That's specific to Houston. I'm sure the Texas Apartment Association has some stuff on a statewide level, but each of the local associations should have that as well.
Yeah, that's great information. Hugh, I want to ask you a question because you had mentioned, Jeffrey had mentioned the fact that he had interviewed some folks that are in the affordable world and how they were dealing with things, and you had mentioned senior. I know your company has a division that does a lot of student housing. What kind of differences, if any, were you seeing in the way that dealing with those residents and dealing with the assets during this type of a storm? Was there anything different, or was it all the same?
Right. No. That's really a good question, because you have, you know, among the seniors, that was really our most vulnerable part of our demographic of the properties that we manage. We have about probably 50 properties that are age-restricted, active adult, independent living. And so while those properties don't provide meals and things that assisted living get, they do have a number of programs that are really set up and the properties are built that really lend themselves to those seniors. And so in with that regard, there was a lot of concern. Some of them don't have family nearby. They didn't have someone to sort of pitch in and bring maybe over some bottles of water or help them with food and that sort of thing. And you know, I'm one of these crazy people that ran to Walmart like many others and thought, I better, you know, our water, you know, they say we may have a water issue. Well, of course, the shelves were bare and there was not a loaf of bread. There was not a paper plate. There was not, of course, any water. And so it was to those part of our portfolio that we began to work with our staffs to say, you know, where are some local places that we can tap into to supplies. And of course, it's great to see Texans come together, and it's really great to see our membership come together as the Texas Apartment Association. It's strong, and I'm just proud that we have such a great association. And really, it's to Gina's point, through the Texas Apartment Association, there were a lot of resources given to local associations on kind of how to care for these. And really, that's where our teams went to work. Again, Paul, where we had, you know, some of the most vulnerable in our portfolio, we had prepared ahead of time to say, Let's go ahead and alert. To Gina's point, we contacted contractors and specifically plumbers prior to the storm to say, listen, we want to be at the top of your list. And it was those that we use more frequently just to alert them to kind of get to the top of their list. And then to our maintenance staff on those properties to say, hey, could you prepare to actually stay at the property? Or if there was a vacant, then, you know, we worked to prepare so they could actually live there for a while. And then in some cases, those properties are full, so they were at hotels nearby where they could actually walk to those properties. So there was a lot of action taken for those students. Yeah, students, it was really heavy on the staff because many of those students will go to their homes, and then you're a little unsure if you've communicated, did they take the steps. We had normal sorts of issues there, but we really had stepped up our communication. And our communication platforms on the student properties are much more effective and much more in terms of when we want to communicate with our student portfolio, we can push text out on the properties, and you know, those students, they respond, they get it, they communicate well that way. When you flip that over to, say, a seniors or a more traditional conventional property, you know, that those were a little bit more difficult to communicate to, because it's not that you can push out text to every one of those or emails, you know, don't get read in time. So there was a lot of door-to-door that was involved there.
All right, great. Well, we need to break it here. We are going to be back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Multifamily properties' water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM. COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry. emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing something that's not only interesting, but timely. And the topic today is how the multifamily industry is responding to the devastating Arctic freeze. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, Hugh Cobb, the current president of the Texas Apartment Association. He's also a principal with Asset Living, and in the studio is another longtime multifamily veteran, Gina Irwin, who is vice president at large with the Houston Apartment Association and the president of GWR Management. Also on the phone and joining the discussion is an award-winning freelance writer, Jeffrey Steele. Gina, I want to start by asking you, there's some long-reaching issues that are going to have to be dealt with on multifamily. And I know that most multifamily properties have a big investment in their landscapes, and that's something that takes a while to try and figure out how much damage was done. And I guess there's also potential insurance claims that have to be dealt with and so forth. How are you guys dealing with that at your properties? And then what do you recommend to our listeners that they do if they were affected in the same way? And what other things do you think might be a long-range type of thing you're having to deal with?
Well, these are great questions. I think for the past couple of weeks, we've just sort of been dealing with what's right in front of us. Mm-hmm. And as that starts to simmer down a little bit, we're starting to think about, I think you've identified the number one question mark is going to be landscaping. It's a long-term challenge just because, you know, I'm certainly not a landscape professional, but in working with our contractors, it's kind of a wait and see approach. So we don't really know which plants might survive, which plants might not. So that's sort of a few weeks down the road before we can really identify the full impact of that number. I think insurance claims is another one that's behind it, because getting a claim opened at this point takes a lot of time. Depending on your insurance coverage, you know, knowing if you're going to reach a deductible or surpass a deductible to make a claim worth filing is another question mark, especially when you're in kind of triage mode. You know,
we're
trying to stop the water. We're trying to give residents their homes back. And that's our number one priority, is taking care of the residents. And the rest of it is all sort of secondary once we get that over the finish line. So I think those are probably the two biggest question marks on a long-term basis.
Hugh, I'd ask you to add to that if you would, but also I wanted to ask you for companies that are doing third-party management, you know, what are they doing to kind of loop in their owners, and what can be done? What do you recommend for that?
Well, that's also a really great observation, Paul. And what I'm seeing really across our company and really others as well is just the quick response and connection with the clients. Within our firm, we gave our clients a quick assessment of what occurred. And in many cases, as Gina responded and explained, we don't really know the extent of the damage. And initially it's, let's get the water. Now let's clean. Now let's get the water out. Now let's try to dry it as best we can to prevent mold and mildew, especially if you're in Houston and the coastal areas. It seems like it can form so quickly. But keeping those clients, and so we did an update daily with an email to the client just to make sure that they were aware and that they are informed. In most cases, we have permission from our clients. If it's an emergency, you get the water stopped, you get it corrected, you address the issue, and then you take a step back and we do circle up with our clients and develop a strategy of how they want the repairs to go. In some cases, there's an insurance claim that's involved. In other cases, it's depending on the extent of it. It's repairing. Some of that's done in-house. Some of it's done by contractors. And so it kind of can be an individual. But really, communication is the key. And that really circles back. And I'll make this quick. It really circles back. If you said, what could you do better next time? I would just say, with the loss of power in so many cases, I think our protocols, we want to do a better job communicating in terms of internally and both between our staff and our residents.
Jeffrey, we've got about 3 minutes left, and I want to give you an opportunity because you mentioned during the break that you're going to be writing a follow-up article for a future article for MHN. And if you want to ask Hugh or Gina a question that can help you with that, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just thinking along the lines of a future article or a follow-up article after the storm. I'd love to hear from Hugh and Gina as to what was the number one or, the top three lessons learned from this. And I just mentioned during the break that these days in the current climate environment, we talk about 100-year floods, and sometimes they're happening twice a decade these days. It would be one thing to say, well, this is never going to happen again for another 75 years, but you don't know that. So whether it's provisions of water, or whether it's new codes covering for insulating the sprinkler pipes, whether it's new communication protocols, what did Hugh and Gina, what are your stakeholders learning of from this crisis?
And we've got about 2 minutes, and Gina, I'll let you start with it.
Thanks. That's a really great question. The two things that stand out for us are that we're seeing both in my company and at the Houston Apartment Association on the task force is, one is the communicate. We were not prepared for power to go out for as long as it did. I think that was a big surprise. We're prepared for freezing pipes. We're prepared for leaks. We knew that was coming. So our communication to our residents, I think, needs to be improved upon, because we sent out freeze warnings that are very standard that we're accustomed to in Texas, but not having the foresight to see that power could have been interrupted and what that might have caused. I think that's one thing we can improve upon. And then the other thing that was a very big surprise, I can tell you the task force identified this right away, was the fire sprinkler lines. The fire sprinklers here, Had we thought ahead, we would have drained those lines before this and prevented a lot of that freezing pipes in those fire sprinkler lines, because it has a filter down to fire watch and risk of fire, and there's a lot of responsibility that goes along with having those lines down.
Okay. And Hugh, we've got about a minute before I want to transition to something else, if you want to take that question.
Well, I just echo Gina's point. She's right on target there. I think we will see, to Jeffrey's suggested, is that I think we will see local codes and a variety of things that will affect those fire sprinkler systems on the go forward. I'm not sure exactly what that'll look like, but obviously there are parts of the country that experience this type of severe weather, and they don't have this problem. So there's got to be a fix to this, and I think with every problem, there's a great opportunity for solutions, and there will be those that step up, and I think will help us solve this issue as we go forward.
Great. That's fantastic. Well, I do want to transition, because we could talk about this topic for a lot longer, but I want to transition. I want to give Eugene and Hugh a chance to talk a little bit more about the associations as well as your companies and tell us. Start with you, Hugh. Tell us a little bit about TAA. What's beyond this topic? What's going on with TAA?
Well, I can tell you, TAA, we're busy, as you can imagine. Coming out of hopefully headed into post COVID environment, we're hopeful for that. We're also going into this is a legislative year, so as you know, the state legislature meets every other year here in Texas. We're We have that that's going on now, our typical process of being able to visit our legislators and help promote the business environment, the friendly business environment, the friendly tax environment that we have in Texas. Is something we want to promote. It's a little bit difficult this year because of the protocols at the Capitol, but our association, including Gina down in Houston, as well as Austin and Dallas and San Antonio, are working with the Texas Apartment Association. Our political action committee is something we love that our supplier partners, as well as our members, are all of our members are supportive of that, and it really helps us to be able to keep that environment. I've heard folks say, we welcome you here in Texas, but let's keep Texas the business-friendly, great economic state that it is around the nation. So we're expecting continued growth and great opportunities for us, and the Texas Apartment Association is really an out front of that. And I also want to say on the many on behalf of all of our members, this last Friday there was a ruling, a federal court ruling, that the CDC rent moratorium for COVID-affected renters was not constitutional. That's being appealed by the federal government, but it's, you know, it's not that we aren't sensitive. The Texas, I can tell you, some of the most generous members in the world are those in the Texas Apartment Association. But we also kind of we have a constitution that guides us, and we want to make sure that we're operating within that framework in the U.S. So, also encouraging our members to go to TexasRentRelief.com. There is $1 billion available being administered through the Texas TDHCA, Texas Department of Housing and Community Affairs. If you're a property owner, you can go apply for your resident. If you're a resident, you can go apply for yourself. And it's there, it's available, and we're seeing great success with those funds being going out to really help those renters in relief, give them relief that have been affected by the COVID.
Okay, great. Gina.
Well, very quickly, I mean, I can keep it short and simple.
Sure.
Everything Hugh said, I could absolutely echo on a local basis. The Houston Apartment Association is very, very focused on suppliers and members, getting information out to residents on rent relief. Houston Harris County has a separate program in addition to the Texas rent relief that Hugh talked about. And really focused on members, focused on trying to make sure our members are educated, focused on trying to get back out to outreach because of COVID. That was shut down a lot. So really a lot of the same things Hugh talked about, just more on a local level.
All right. Well, great. Fantastic. We're going to have to end it here. We are going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. My thanks go out to Gina, to you, and to Jeffrey. And you've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.